Our scripture readings today, the first one is Numbers 13, 26 through 30. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan." Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." And Acts 26, 2. "King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews."
Lord, we do thank you for this time of worship, this time of fellowship. We ask that you would speak through me today, God, that it would be a blessing to those who are listening. Lord, those who are listening by our podcast, we ask that you touch Kathy in a special way today, God. We ask that you touch Sandy in a special way. And all of those, God, who are listening by podcast, we ask that, Lord, you would be with them. We thank you and we give you praise for this sermon today. Allow it to be a blessing to those hearing. And Lord, we also pray too for Mark Wilton. We ask that you would bless him as he recovers from surgery. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I never want to forget, and I look down, I'm like, I forgot to pray for Mark. So, and you guys know how much I like to pray, so I didn't mind adding, coming back and praying again. So I just thank God today. I had been a little sick all week, and I had so much that I had to do. And so I thank God, I thank him for being my strength and bringing me through. I'm like, I know I have to do the funeral. I know I have to do a wedding. I know I had, just there were so many things I had to do. And yet I was sick and could barely get off the couch. I come across some kind of a virus or something. So thank God for all of you who pray for me, because there's so many times when I need it and you don't even know it, but I know that you're lifting my name up. And so I thank God for all of you. Today I want to talk about, and this is what Lori and I were talking about, and that's why that first video was, I think it was called, "Can You See It?" or "How Do You See It?" I want to talk about, what do you see? And if you look at the glass that's once half, some see it half empty, some see it half full. How do you see life? How do you see your life? How do you see God in your life? How do you see his promises in your life? How do you see it? I've been talking to several people, but a lot of young people lately, and I've been talking to them about perspective. A lot of things have happened, you know, they've been going through. Our young people really go through, we have to keep lifting them up. And so I was trying to encourage them, and one said, this happened, and they could was only sharing with me all of the negative things that had happened. And I understand it's hard to go through, and you have to go through that. And I said, but you know, let's look at this differently. Let's look at it differently. How about this happened and this happened? And these were all of the good things that had happened to them. And I said, so how about if we change our perspective on how we look at the things that are going on in our life? Not denying it or acting as if it didn't happen. That's not what I'm saying. But choosing to look at it through a positive eye, through, but God is on my side. So although I'm going through this, I know he's going to bring me through it. I know he's going to do it. And so I started thinking about it, and I kept feeling like, okay, God, I know this is what, obviously I'm talking to a lot of people about this perspective. This must be what you want me to talk about this week. And so then yesterday I was watching this documentary on pop music of all things, you know, it was very interesting, but I noticed there was this band, and there were two members of the band, and they were each telling their side of how they began. And one said, and we went to this school of music and it was great. It was wonderful for us to be there and how we all came together and how our voices, we were able to practice it. Oh, it was so much. And the other one said, I really didn't like that school very much. He was like, I didn't like it. I didn't even really want to go. My parents made me go and my teachers, and they all thought I would do well there, but it really wasn't my choice. And I was like, God, I think you're showing me something here. It was perspective. Now, they made it, and they were a very famous band. But it was that perspective of the one who had that such a positive. It was great. He could look back on it and see how, truly, how God had worked it all together for them. And the other one's perspective was just really his own perspective. It was just his own, the negative things that he saw in it. And I think we do that sometimes. And when God is working through us or working for us or trying to help us, and we go through things, we face attacks of the enemy, and it's so easy for him to feed us and only show us the negative things. You know, we can see, well, man, this didn't go right for me. Well, man, I tried it and it didn't work. And he's steady feeding us. And if we give into that, then our view is so negative and it's so hard to succeed. It's so hard to keep going, to do what God called you to do if you're walking in a negative state of mind, if you're seeing it half full instead of half empty instead of half full. Here we go. I had to see the glasses in my mind. But if you see it that way, it's just very hard to achieve what God has for you. And so today I want to show you a few examples of how that worked in the Bible, how it was so important for them to see it through the eyes of God, to see it through that positive lens, to know that no matter what it looks like, you have a God who can change that. He can change that situation. So no matter what it looks like, no matter what you've gone through, you have a God that can change it. And if you just put your trust in him, just say that, I know this doesn't look very good. I know this road looks rocky, but I know a God who can straighten my path, that when I walk through it, the path will be straight. So let's read first. And I had those first scriptures read just so that you could get an idea of kind of what I'm talking about as far as how the different perspectives of how people see things. And I want to start with Numbers. And here we have where God has told Moses to send out one from every tribe to go and spy out the promised land of Canaan and come back with a report. And there are two different sides to this report. So here we start with Numbers 13. And I have Numbers 13, and I'm going to do 1 through 3. Then I'm going to do 17 through 20 and then end with 26 through 30. So just follow along. I had to break that down so that I wasn't just reading, 30 full verses. I didn't want you to have to sit through that. But so let's start with verse 13. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. Then we go to verse 17. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negate and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit and of the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes. So then we go to verse 26. They'd gone to the land, and this is their report. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there, and that is, he was a giant. So the people were very big. They were giants is what they saw. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Now that was their view. The people are big. It's a lot. There are a lot of them, and they were nervous. No, we don't know. But Caleb, now that was their view. We don't know. The people are giants. It's nice, but I don't know if we can do it. But Caleb's view was, Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. He saw it so differently. He went there, he saw all of the same giants. He saw, if you, in the King James Version, it says the grapes were just huge. And so they were almost intimidated by it, even though this is the land God promised them. He promised them this land, but they were nervous. Their view was, I don't know, Moses, I don't think so. There were big people there. There's a lot of them and they're big. And Caleb said, you guys be quiet. He said, we can do this. Why? Because he knew God was beside him. He knew God had given them. He promised them that land. And so he was standing that perspective, just two very different perspectives. One in the natural eye. Sure, they were giants and it didn't seem like they could do it. But the other in the spiritual eye, with that spiritual eye, he knew God said they can do it. And that's how we have to look at situations in our life. If we know God promised us, regardless of what it looks like, it looks like you can't do it. It may feel like you will fail, but because God said he's with you, you can do it. And that's just what they saw. And that story always stuck with me. It's truly just that perception. It's your perception. And your dependence and trust in God. Because we may all see the big, tall mountain. But if God says I can climb it, I can climb it. But if in my mind I'm defeated before I even try, I'm defeated. It truly is just that perspective of how you look at things. It made me think of my sister and I. We're always together. And this was years ago. And I had drove across this bridge. And I was looking up and I said, oh my goodness, it looks like when we were in Germany. I said, it's so beautiful. It looks wonderful. And I was telling her about it. I said, oh, I just drove across this bridge. I said, it's a new bridge. They just built it. And it's so pretty. I said, it looks like Germany when we were over there. And I said, there are houses up in the hills and it's just so beautiful. So then we were together again and we were actually drove over the bridge together. And I said, this is that bridge I was telling you about. And she goes, I drive over this bridge every day. I never see that. I never see that. It was our perspectives. It was just, she was in her world, you know, not good or bad, but just she was in her world and she didn't even look up and pay attention to the things that I saw. And even if she did, she didn't see them the way I see them. It was just perspective. And that always stuck with me how much we had such a different perspective of the same bridge that's right here in town, but we just had such a different perspective. And it truly is just the way you look at it. We can choose to look at, in that case, there was railroad tracks and everything if you look down, but if you look up, there are houses built in the hills. And so it just was truly just a perspective. But that's how we have to look at our life. It's our perspective. Do you choose to look at the positive things, the good things that God is doing, you know, and not to negate those things that have happened? They have happened. But choose to look at the good parts of it and know that God is with you no matter what. No matter what you're going through, he's with you. Or do you choose to look at the negative side of it? You know, as I said, when you're looking at that negative side, it's just very hard to grow. It's very hard to keep going forward. You feel defeated. You feel like you can't make it because that's what the enemy wants you to feel like. But if you choose to look at God is behind me. I don't care what I'm going through. God is with me and he's for me. And then you can walk through that path. So what do you see? That's my question today. That's the title of our sermon. What do you see when you look at a situation? Half full. Half full. Yeah. Or do you see half empty? And if so, how can you change it to change the way of thinking to see it half full? How do you, you know, just to give it, to at least even consider when you're looking at a situation. Consider, well, God's with me, so maybe it's not as bad as it seems. Maybe it's not. Or I know he's going to help me through it because it may be as bad as it seems. But when you have him on your side, when you know that he's going to be with you, you can take him. There used to be a song, take the Lord along with you everywhere you go. I can hear him singing it, the saints singing that. But when you have him with you on your side, you can, you know, you can get through that, whatever that situation is, because he's with you. He promised he'll never leave us. He promised he would be with us always. Now, my next scripture, I just wanted to give you a few examples. My next scripture is from Matthew 16, and this is just Jesus talking to the disciples, and he wants to know what they see. What do you see? He says, In Matthew 16, 13 through 16, it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? What do you see when you look at me? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He wanted them to think for them. Who am I to you? Who do you see when you look at me? What do you see when you look at a situation? Do you know I am the Messiah? Do you know I can take care of you? Do you know I'm on your side? I'm for you? Or do you see what the enemy tells you in any situation? You're not going to live. You're not going to make it. Things aren't going to go well for you. You're going to be broke. Whatever the enemy tries to tell you, do you see that? Or do you see that he is the Messiah and he is going to take care of you? He is going to walk with you in every journey. You know him. You know him as a healer. You know him as a deliverer. You've been through some things in this life. I can attest. I've heard so many of your stories. You have been through some things. You know he's a healer. You know he's a deliverer. You know he is a soul saver. You know he protects your family. He's the protector. Are you going to go with that? Is that what you're going to see? Whatever that situation is, are you going to see him as that? Or are you going to see him how the enemy presents it? That it's not going to work out. That he's just what people say. Or is it what you know? Who you see him to be. So that's what I want you to think about today. I have one last scripture, but I just want you to see him as God, the God that loves you more than anyone. Anyone here can love you. The one that is on your side. He fights for you. He will take care of you. He is with you and for you always. What do you see? And to keep that perspective on a positive side. Keep it on a positive side. Now, my last scripture, I got a feeling I've been really talking, but I really kind of feel this. So Acts 26:2. And here we find Paul is in prison and he's getting a chance to speak for himself before he is killed. So King Agrippa, Acts 2:26-2. King Agrippa, this is Paul talking to the king. He's getting a chance to talk for himself, to like plead his case. He says, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews. And the reason I chose this, in the King James, it says, I think myself happy. And that's what we have to do. I like that version, and I forgot to tell Lori to put that version instead of this one, but you get it. He says, it's all in our mind. What do we choose to think? He's standing here, he's fighting for his life, and he said, I think myself happy. I choose to think that I'm happy about this because I get a chance to tell what my God can do. And that's the whole goal. It all starts here. How you see it. What perspective do you see when you look at a situation? What perspective? Is the glass half empty or half full? That's just bringing it down to a basic level, but it's that perspective. Do you know God will take care of you, or do you wobble? I'm not sure. Or do you lean on what you know he's already done for you? That you know he healed. You know he healed your body. You know he saved your family. You know it. You lean on that. That's your perspective. That's the perspective I choose. I won't tell you what to do, but that's the perspective I choose. I choose to believe that he will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He's going to fight for me. He is for me. That's the perspective that I choose. And I hope that's the perspective that you choose, because he's for you. He promises he will not leave us. And he is a God who keeps his promises. Amen. We don't. I promise I'm going to be there at 2, but I get there at 2:30. I tried. That's not God. He keeps his promises. If he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it for you. Amen. Amen. I forgot to have you guys clap, or I don't know. But I won't do that. But let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you. We do thank you, God, for just being God. We thank you that you promised to not leave us. You promised you would never forsake us. You promised you would be with us. You would fight our battles, God, if we would just trust you and put our trust and our hope in you. And so we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us all here again today to celebrate and fellowship together. I thank you, God, for each person here today. Lord, you know what they need. You know the requests they have before you. And so, God, we just ask that you would meet each person today at their very point of need, God, that you would be their God today. God, that you would love on them and comfort them and keep them, God, and guide them and direct them. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. There's no one like you, God. We just thank you today. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. We pray again and lift up everyone on our prayer request list. Lord, each person, meet them face by face, person by person. God, meet them at their point of need. Be healer today, God. Be deliverer. God, we thank you. And we give you all of the praise, all of the honor, and all of the glory. There's no one like you. No one like you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. You're worthy of all of our praise today. You're worthy because you are a wonderful God. You are an amazing God. We love you and honor you today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.